The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running around, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. We're gonna find a way to do it. We're gonna do our best. It's gonna be tough today. This stings more than most, because when you think about some of the tougher ones that have happened, right? There's like usually one moment you can point to of, hey, this is where a coaching mistake was made. This is where an error was made. Can't believe he missed that shot. Can't believe they called that defense. And if you want to nitpick about little things that happened in last night's Brewers game along the way, to me, it ultimately doesn't matter, because all roads pointed to Devin Williams was coming into that game in the ninth inning with a two-run lead. And Devin Williams is, and I feel terrible for him, because he is one of, at the beginning of the year, he was like one of the few established guys. Two-time All-Star, two-time Reliever of the Year, Rookie of the Year. I know he had the injury at the beginning of the year, but still, I mean, he was lights out. 1.25 ERA in the handful of games that he appeared in. 13 and 14 out of save opportunities. Like, that's the situation you want. If I sat here yesterday, Strofe, Alex Strofe, our cousin sub of the day, if I sat here yesterday during KBN or our show yesterday morning and said, hey, going into the ninth, two-run lead, Devin Williams is coming in, everybody signs up for it.
Perfect situation.
And it's not, oh, and Willie Adames booted it. I can't believe it.
Right.
Just, he wasn't good enough. Maybe he was tipping his pitches. I haven't had a chance to completely watch the John Boy video, which is like 8 minutes long. Maybe he was tipping his pitches. Maybe he wasn't. I'm not sure. I think me believing he was tipping his pitches, I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse.
Does that change anything?
It doesn't.
No. Look, it's the exact scenario you would hope for. The exact scenario. Maybe a three-run lead.
Yep.
But other than that, that's exactly what you want in the ninth inning. You want your guy on the bump to close it out. It was perfectly managed, perfectly drawn up, and his worst moment comes in the worst spot.
One of the things I've picked up from Homer over the years are the cool things that happen in losses that then get lost to history. Sal Frelick hitting a ball 408 feet when he hadn't had a home run since May 15th.
Yeah. Yeah, he had the most at-bats without a home run in the MLB.
I believe among qualified batters, he had the lowest exit velocity on average of anyone.
Probably, yeah.
He's
not a home run hitter. And he's a terrific defender. He was damn good offensively this series. He had some crucial at-bats. Obviously, he had the single in the ninth as well, the bottom of the ninth, which led to a Bryce Terang ground out for a double play to end the season. Yeah, Frelick was great. But all in all, I mean, look, heading into the ninth inning, the top of the ninth inning, Gabe, you looked at that game and you go, wow, this couldn't have gone much better.
Yeah.
They're three outs away from advancing. Love the Phillies. Five-game series. We'll see what happens there, but you feel really good about the way this team responded after dropping game one in a three-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know what happens from there. It sucks that Devin Williams' worst moment happens there. And I think that's what makes this one sting that much more.
Because there are, in every other one, like, oh, you could do this differently.
Yep. There's nobody to be mad at. You feel bad for Devin Williams.
I mean, if you want to be mad at Devin Williams, I guess you can
go for it, right?
I'm not going to be.
Well, I guess the one way you could be, which I'm not, but the one way you could be is when you think of the last several postseason runs, or lack thereof.
So here's
like he has something to do with all of them.
Here's the problem. So Daniel the Sloth chimes in. They should have taken him out after one hit.
No.
No, guess that's not like how any of this works. That's like saying after Jordan Love in a game-winning drive throws one incompletion, oh, he probably doesn't have it. You got to put the other guy in. Like, you're not warming up somebody simultaneously with your closer.
No.
In case the closer doesn't have it that day. Like, that's there's nobody up in the bullpen. There's nobody getting loose. But you get to that moment, you ride or die with your best reliever. And that's Devin Williams.
Typically is. Last night it wasn't. And that's it's okay, I guess, but this one sucks. I was probably counting my chickens before they hatched last night. And we all may have been subconsciously a little bit. And then you watch what happens. And then Pete Alonso swings, what was it, 376 or 367, whatever it was. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it's what Wisconsin sports seem best at. Getting my hopes up and breaking my heart.
I mean, that's just sports in general.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy, like, I don't want to do the word cursed as Wisconsin sports fans.
I didn't say cursed. It's just
because,
what
yes,
it is.
I mean, well, no, it's just, that's the life of a sports fan, man. Unless you happen to, like, luck into a team that catches fire and has one of these dynasties. There's one team that gets to win the championship at the end.
Mm-hmm.
29 to 31 other teams are heartbroken at the end of the year.
But you're telling me that's it everybody. Never felt like this team was that good? This team was better than what they showed us. They were better than a wild card team.
This team, yeah. And that's why it stings.
But they responded to every single piece of adversity. That's why it stings.
Because
they were so easy to buy into.
So, for example, last year, I was at game two, and the Brewers multiple times had kind of threatened after scoring early, and then they fell down. They had threatened. They had got the bases loaded a couple times. One of those times, they got the bases loaded, cleanup hitter was coming up. In most situations, including this year's team, cleanup hitter's coming up. You go, oh, man, this could get fun. Some damage could be done here. And who was batting cleanup last year in that game? Care to take a guess? Mark Canna.
Oh, jeez. So, I would have never gotten that right.
Mark Canna. Like, Mark Canna's coming up to the plate. And Mark Canna's a fine hitter if he's seven or eight. He's not a cleanup hitter. So, like, it feels, you know, with that, it's like, okay, the offense ultimately probably wasn't good enough. If Mark Canna is, at that moment, that's when it slapped me across the face. Like, oh, man, this offense actually isn't good enough to do anything. Whereas this year's team, the offense was. The pitching was. This was a really good team. And the randomness of baseball makes it tough in these three-game series. You know, the regular season success doesn't always carry over, which is why we wanted the first round bye so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And am I optimistic about the future of this franchise? Of course I am. The people in charge have given you no reason to be anything but optimistic. But also, where you might be excited, there was one text in here. I've already lost it. Frankie had texted in even before the show started. About the excitement of this team going forward. And that's true. I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
You know, I know there's going to be at some point this winter where I'm excited about, oh man, this lineup with Christian Yelich. Oh man, Brandon Woodruff coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know those things are coming. However, 10 guys from this team were on the playoff team a year ago. The nature of Brewers baseball is there's going to be turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Chourio is going to be here, and that's going to be exciting as well. But Willy Adames talked about it last night.
He's gone. He's gone.
I don't know if we have some of that sound, Joshy, from Willy, where he's hoping to be back, but has no idea if he will be.
Some of these players leave here knowing that, hey, we'll do it again next year. Can you put yourself in that category, or do you think that was it for you in a Brewers uniform?
Well, I can't tell you if that was it or not. I mean, I guess we have to wait, but no, I would love to be here next year competing with my boys again. You know, it would be great. It would be special. You know, I know the talent that we have in this clubhouse is something special, and I know we can do great things together.
What do you want him to say after?
I mean, it's
an hour
a great
after
answer.
A loss. It is great a great answer. But he's not going
to
be here.
It's a question that has to be asked.
But he's not going to be here.
Probably not.
He's going to go get paid, and deservingly so. He had a great year. The thing
Devin
about
Williams
this team
probably won't be
no,
here.
No, he won't be here.
And it has nothing to do with last night's game.
No.
Brewers have a club option, I believe, for just over $10
million. I don't want to derail us too much here, but you brought up the idea of cursed, and I understand where that's coming from. It's part of being a sports fan. You're going to lose sometimes in devastating ways. But I didn't feel any better when I read from Sarah Langs from the MLB. Teams entered the day 7-for-105 when trailing, entering the ninth inning in a winner-take-all postseason game. They were 2-of-82 when trailing by multiple runs ending the ninth. That record is now 3-and-82.
It's tough, man. Like,
it's just the most Wisconsin sports thing ever. And I'm not saying we're cursed.
No, but you are by putting... It's just sports in general, man. Like, it has nothing to do with us.
But it feels like Wisconsin teams have the constant ability to find unique ways to lose.
Three of 82.
3-of-82, Gabe. You're going to sit here and say that's sports?
Yeah!
That's a Brewers thing.
No, that's not a Brewers thing. So if you think it's a specific Brewers thing, then you think they're cursed.
No.
How do you separate those two?
You understand more than most. When we lose in the postseason, we find ways to do it dramatically.
In fantastic fashion.
The Packers have done it 100 times. Now the Brewers again last night.
I don't want to have this overall discussion, right? Like, I don't want to turn this into, oh, woe is us. Like, because when you put a Wisconsin
I think we were allowed to have woe is us day today.
Well, yeah, but like,
you said we could dump our buckets. Now you're judging us for what's in our buckets?
It's not a Wisconsin sports thing. It's just a sports thing.
Epic collapse. Every time.
Not every time.
Just about.
Well, no, I mean, we just talked about how last year Mark Canha was batting cleanup. That's not.
Yeah, that's collapse. That's crazy.
Like, that's just your team.
That I can laugh at because it's been a year. I can't laugh at how fun this team was this year, and that's what gives the extra degree to the burn.
So, the thing that stings the most. So, what I was getting to before we got to rent this.
Sorry.
Because it stings, and again, I am optimistic about the future of this organization. But I felt like this team was really good and had an opportunity. And even though it was a surprise based on their preseason prognostications, when you get in these situations, you need to capitalize. I am reminded of a conversation I had with Jim Rutledge when I was working in Madison doing a show with Jim.
Oh, boy.
Back in 2010. Who tried to tell himself after the Packers defeated the Bears in the NFC Championship game, oh, it's okay. The Bears are ahead of schedule anyway. What have the Bears done since 2010? And I'm not saying that the Brewers are headed for a decade of irrelevance.
No.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying there is, it's easy to go, oh, they were ahead of schedule. Yeah, maybe. I mean, baseball's so random. This team's going to be a lot different next year. And while I'm optimistic for it, they had an opportunity last night. And that's why it stings. Because it wasn't that they weren't up for the moment, because they were. It's not that they played poorly, because for 8 innings, it was unbelievable baseball. And it was fun being in that stadium. And at the end of the day, one of your best players just didn't have it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Which bleeping sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Yeah, this team responded to adversity all year long. They had what, like 17 different starting pitchers? They had how many different guys record saves? You had a former MVP back to all-star form. You lose him for a season. You have one Cy Young winner traded. You have another Cy Young capable guy out for the entire year. Robert Gasser was terrific. He's out for the year. Uribe's out for the year. This is a team that was in first place all season with a bunch of rookies and unproven guys, and it really felt like this team had something special about them. And maybe it was because they didn't know what they didn't know type fun, because they were so young and inexperienced. Last night felt like a totally missed opportunity. And who knows what the heck happens when you go to Philly this weekend. And then all of a sudden it just slips through your fingers.
I would have loved to find out.
Yeah, me too, Gabe. Me too.
Would have loved to have found
really
out.
Thought we were going to find out as well when we had three outs to go and Devin Williams coming to the mound. It hurts. That one stings more than other postseason exits by the Brewers in recent memory. Just because there's so much unknown. And it felt like they had the perfect opportunity. As you said at the top of the show, if we before we even played that game, if you said to anybody, you're up 2 runs, Devin Williams,
ninth inning.
Lights
you're
go
three
out,
outs away.
Lights go out, and here comes Devin.
And we're all going, oh, yeah.
Buy
the plane ticket to Philly. Here
Sign
we come. And it just wasn't his night.
Because 91% of the time, or whatever it is, he's come through.
Yeah. And last night, Pete Alonso came through. The former Madison Mallard, by the way.
Well, we don't need to talk about that.
A guy who couldn't field a fly ball.
Accurate.
God, I want him to cash in on that, too, and just make that sting.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what happiness is?
Like, in life, yeah, I think I do. I guess
that was game.
The hesitation. Are you sure?
What are you laughing at?
I've never seen a less sure response from anyone.
In general life?
You seem to not even know what the definition was there for a moment.
So no, I'll take it.
Not right now, at least.
I know.
Okay, so apparently you guys are going to answer for me and say I don't.
Doesn't seem that way. You didn't seem so sure. And you know what? My answer is no.
I was asking for clarification to the question.
I don't think there's any needed.
I didn't think it was straightforward enough. Maybe Jason Wilde knows what happiness is. He chose
you
us
sure?
Next. Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. I'm certainly glad that I switched off of the Pearl Jam Dark Matter tour on the Pearl Jam channel on Sirius XM to listen to you guys at 7 o'clock because, you know, a couple things. First of all, I know you know what happiness is. You've got a lot of happiness in your life. The Brewers took away a little bit of that happiness last night, but you'll recover.
A lot of it.
All Brewers fans. I mean, you know, again, I'm not the best to help people through this because I don't feel the same feelings, but I think what you guys are doing is a I don't want to make too much out of it, but I think it's a really important public service. And I've always believed this ever since I started doing what we do here on the radio, that fans need to be able to work through this, and we give them that opportunity. And listening to you guys try to work through it, you know there's lots of other Brewers fans who don't have this for a job that are working through it today as well as they go to their job. And I love that you guys are there for them. I will say this, listening to you guys in the first segment, I do think that we are myopic about the heartbreak that Wisconsin sports teams deliver because those are our teams. Those are the teams that our fans care most deeply about. But I would venture to say that there are plenty of fan bases. Now, not ones that have crappy teams that are just bad every year. Like, they get saved the heartbreak, right? They don't have to worry about that. They just have to deal with their NFL team going 4-13 and their Major League Baseball team being sub-500 and their NBA team trying to get out of the lottery and make the eighth playoff berth or whatever it might be. And if you'd rather have that, hey, you're right, you won't get hurt then. But I'd be willing to bet that other fan bases with really good teams have plenty of heartbreaking losses. We just don't think about them because they're not our teams. And so I'm glad you guys are here for Brewers fans today so they can work through those emotions. But they have every right to be crestfallen by this. everything you guys said was true, that this was a team that you had every reason to be really excited about going a lot farther than they did after what happened in the ninth inning.
Yeah, let's moving on to the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, there is a game that's happening for the Packers in Los Angeles on Sunday. What is the optimism around the Packers that they would get one or both of their preferred starting cornerbacks back in the lineup this weekend?
Yeah, I think there should be reason for a lot of optimism there. You know, Carrington Valentine has been limited in practice each of the last 2 days, which is better than being a non-participant, obviously. And Jair Alexander was limited yesterday. So I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting that. So we'll see what happens today. I don't think I'm going to get back from Steinhoffels and Waukesha in time for locker room. But I'm really curious, you know, and I thought it was really interesting yesterday. Domofsky asked Jeff Hafley what the plan had been for the Vikings game with Jair and then not having him. And I thought Hafley, without saying it, trying to set it, right? He, you know, I don't want to go down that road. The plan was the plan. It doesn't matter. So I feel fairly confident, based on what he'd said the previous Thursday, that at least some, if not most, or all of the game, Jair Alexander was going to travel with Justin Jefferson. And obviously, when he injures his groin in practice on Thursday, doesn't practice on Friday, and doesn't play on Sunday, that is a major shift in your game plan. But Hafley's point was, it's our job to adjust. We didn't do a good enough job of adjusting, which again tells you that he's probably planning on doing that. And then that was the result.
Jason, where do we think Jordan Love is at in terms of health percentage, right? Like last week, probably somewhere between 80 and 90. Do we feel like he's trending in an upwards direction health-wise for a get-right game this weekend?
Well, he was Mr. Unlimited like Russell Wilson.
Oh, God.
Well, don't compare him to him. That's not good.
Jason, today's already bad enough.
Well, he's drinking a lot of bubble water, and he's sleeping about 3 hours doing some calisthenics in the airplane. Yeah.
Then running fake two-minute drills.
Yeah. Ride Cowboys or whatever the heck he was saying. What is his new phrase now with the Steelers? Watch the game from the bench?
Yeah, I believe that's
his motto,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Strope, I mean, he was a full participant yesterday, which is great. Like, that means he took every single snap that he's supposed to take as the starting quarterback. So I don't know about percentages. I would be willing to guess that, you know, I don't think he was, you know, maybe he was 75% or 80% if you looked at the way he moved in the game last Sunday. So I would hope that would be a meaningful amount better. And more importantly, I would hope that his accuracy and his rhythm and his comfort in the pocket and his connectivity with his receivers would be significantly better as well.
You brought up something when we were doing Green Bay game day on Sunday before the game, the three of us, and you had mentioned about, you know, kind of Jordan Love having to learn how to play Hurts. And I think we saw some of that. And I think Trent Green did a pretty good job on the broadcast kind of breaking down, hey, look at this footwork. It's not, you know, technically sound, and he took that one hit, and it seemed like it almost assured him that the knee, oh, hey, okay, we're going to be fine. And we've heard so many players talk about that. Do you think he's beyond that? And then the second half, we saw him as a player that knows how to operate while the knee is going to be as limited as it is?
Well, they certainly gave him enough opportunities with 56 dropbacks in the game. So he certainly got plenty of work there, and as we talked about earlier in the week, to shake off the rust as well. Look, I didn't hear what Trent Green had said during the broadcast. I didn't have the audio on it each time I watched, but I'm assuming he talked about how he wasn't stepping into his throws the way he normally would.
Correct.
With his left leg.
Mm-hmm. And like so the way he was kind of planting on that left leg was a little weird, and again, yeah. I think it just took him a while to learn how to trust it.
Yeah, and I think that's still going to be a process, right? Like, there were two times in the game, and one very notably, as I mentioned to you guys early in the week, where I was in the locker room afterward, and, you know, he gives me a hard time for being a helicopter parent and beat writer. And I had said to him, you had me a little worried when you took that one hit. And he said, yeah, me too. Like, I think he was concerned that that was going to be something serious, because he said it was really painful. And yet he was able to walk it off, and the pain subsided, and he went right back to work. So I do think that that's all extremely valuable. But again, I don't think he's going to be 100%. And my only concern about his well-being is that, you know, it only takes one hit. We saw it only takes one hit in a game in Brazil on a slippery field that, you know, I was worried, frankly. There was that play in Brazil. Remember where he dropped back and his back leg gave out because it slipped?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, that was a play where I was like, oh, God, right? And it turned out to be nothing. That's the kind of stuff you just never – so you just got to play. And I think that's the most important thing beyond shaking off the rust that came out of it, like you said, is that now he's got a better feel for how exactly do I have to adjust my game, how much do I have to adjust my game. I would think it will be less than it was last week. And I think he'll – every week, as long as he doesn't experience any setbacks, he'll look more and more like himself.
Jason, Christian Watson set to miss this week's game. How different is the game plan, or how different can the offense execute with a guy like Dontayvion Wicks likely stepping up and taking a lot of that snap share?
So I don't want this to sound like I'm dismissing the importance of Christian Watson, because I'm not. Like, he is a unicorn player. You know, his ability to take the top off the defense. They have other guys that can run deep routes, right? I mean, we see it from Jaden Reed, even though he might not fit that profile. We see it from Dontayvion Wicks, but they are not the same as Watson. Now, that said, the beauty of having, I mean, look, they have a wide receiver group that even I, as someone who wants Davante Adams back solely for my own selfish reasons, as a reporter and my relationship with him, have to admit they don't need Davante Adams back, even though he's on the trading block, right? And that pains me to say that, because I want him back in that locker room. That's one of my guys. But they have such depth that they are really in a great position that most other teams are not, to absorb not having Christian Watson for a few weeks. So he's not going on injured reserve, so that's a great sign. They have some practice with playing without him, obviously, from his first two seasons. But, you know, I still can't get over this, and I wrote about Wicks last night for Today. And, I mean, the fact that this dude, the three drops, I understand. He was tough on himself. We were tough on him. Great. The fact that no wide receiver in the National Football League has gotten open more than him through 4 weeks, that's amazing. He is open on 82% of the routes he runs. No one is that good in the league, and that includes Justin Jefferson. That includes all the guys that are much higher in the NFL wide receiver hierarchy, according to Pro Football Focus. And when I brought up that number to Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, yesterday, you know, Stenovich said, look, I don't look at that PFF stuff. And then he said, but that stat doesn't surprise me at all, because that's how good Wicks is. And what I thought was most interesting was that Steno said that no one has better hands on this, in this receiving core, than Wicks. So if you take the three drops as an outlier, and I think he had a drop in Brazil, too, remember correctly.
Yep, you got it.
If you take those, and I'm not saying they don't count. They obviously do. But if, you know, I love the fact that Jaden Reed told me that they showed up on Monday, and even before the team meeting, they went into the crick, and he was on the jugs machine right away. Like, that's what you want from a guy, right, is that he's so pissed that he made those mistakes, that he goes right to work on fixing them. But if those are outliers and his hands are the hands that Adam Stenovich says he has, you get him with his catches not making mistakes like he did and getting open as often as he does, that's a pretty lethal combination from what I can gather.
Jason, always appreciate the time, bud. Look forward to hearing you live from Steinhoffel's coming up in about 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
You guys keep doing the great therapy work. I appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We continue the therapy work. We'll check in with Craig Karmazin. I think he's going to be heartbroken with us. He was pretty high on this team all season long. Our conversation with Craig Karmazin, our Friday check-in, is next.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
enjoy our little chats with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO Craig Karmazin, every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig, you were one of the biggest believers in this Brewers team all season long. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not doing that well. That was a tough one. That was a really, really tough one. You know, I was at all three games. I was just sitting in the stands with my daughter last night. We were thinking about all the good things after those two home runs, and I think it was worse than any of the others.
Yeah.
I mean, even worse than the Hader one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because with the Hader one, it's like, okay, he gave up the hit, but then Grisham couldn't field the ground
right.
ball. Like, it just seemed like...
That was terrible, though.
Yeah,
but
like,
that,
it's just a stupid mistake.
Back,
right?
I don't want to let, like, time forget how painful that one was.
Correct.
But this one, I think, was worse. Now, you know, Jackson's young. Like, there's all these things that I think we feel really, really good about this team. This was a year that was, like we said, the Packers year last year, where you weren't expecting it to be the year, so this year is gravy. But it doesn't change how painful the end was.
But I'm also not one of those guys, Craig, that just like, oh, I mean, they were even supposed to be good and weren't supposed to be here. Like, they were there, and they were good enough to be there. It wasn't a fluke. This was a damn good team, and they just let an opportunity slip through their fingers. I think that's why it really hurts more for me than anything. Because if I told you when you and your daughter walked through the gates last night, Craig, hey, Brewers are going to be up to Devin Williams coming in the ninth, you would have been stoked.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why, like, all the, like, should have kept Freddie in, you know, because obviously if Freddie didn't pitch well, it would have been, oh, never should have put Freddie in. He's
yeah.
a relief pitcher. Like, you know, everyone has the after the fact, you know, and, you know, pulling the starting pitchers early the last two nights worked after it didn't the first night. So I think you can't even argue the process.
Yeah, they had game plan. They executed it perfectly until the ninth inning.
Yeah, and you don't even leave feeling like, well, the Mets are just such a special team and
amazing.
Right. Like they made the big play. Obviously, you know, Alonso had the big hit. Lindor is unbelievable, right? I mean, I think we knew that coming in, but Lindor's an MVP if it's any other year. So that's not surprising, but I mean, it just felt, I mean, all three games at home. I mean, it just felt so winnable, you know, it's tough to get over.
It was winnable. It sucks. It hurts. Craig, I'm going to ask you a question I asked Gabe earlier, and he didn't really know how to answer it. Do you know what happiness is?
Yeah.
Okay, both of you have sound unbelievably uncertain. I'm trying to make myself feel better by going to two people who are generally very upbeat and happy, it seems.
Well,
and neither of you have given me very convincing answers.
No, I was saying that because philosophically it's tough. I, like, within the last year, my mom said to me, like, well, what is actual happiness?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, God, that's really deep. So that's where my mind went there. So I think I know happiness, but I don't know. I'm not a philosopher.
Well, how did you answer that to your mother?
I was just like, you're right. That's what you always say to a Jewish mother. You're just like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just kind of the default answer.
Okay.
I am so optimistic, Craig, about the future of this team, because Matt Arnold has, I mean, he's done a tremendous job. You know, I think everybody's excited about Pat Murphy. But I don't feel great about the Willy Adames coming back. And hearing him last night, you know, Greg Matzik from WTMJ and here at 94.5 ESPN asked him about if he thought it was his last game in a Brewers uniform. He said he hoped it wasn't. But it kind of feels like somebody else is going to give him extra years, extra money, that he's not coming back, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I read Bradley Doolittle, I think, for ESPN, wrote it last night. I think the Brewers will make way more of a run at Willie than people think they will, because the Brewers are just so honest and have such a clear process of what they do. So I think the fans are prepared really well, and I think we know Ortiz and Terang are both so good and so young that, you know, if I had to predict, I think he may end up somewhere else. But I think the Brewers are going to make a real, meaningful, concerted offer to him, because I think they still will see an extreme amount of value there with him. And he may be more valuable to the Brewers than he is to most of the Major League Baseball teams. My guess is there just may end up being one or two that are willing to pay a little more.
The fact that he told Jesse Winker to meet him in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then he still went there after game one and Winker no-showed. That's worth a couple extra. That's worth a little extra money in the contract negotiations, right?
Yeah. I mean,
did you happen to see that story?
I did not see that story. But, I mean, the Winker-Milwaukee relationship is a pretty unique one. Like, there's not a lot of players that this city and this state feel that way about, right? Like, this is generally an affable, you know, fan base that doesn't like you once you leave, likes you when you're here. There's not a lot of Winkers, like, you know, when you look across, you know, all of sports, right? Can you find ones like that? So, yeah, I mean, Willie, I think everyone has said from the beginning, like, when the first day he was a Brewer, you're going to love him on the field, you're going to love him off the field. Like, there is everything to love about this guy, and his tenure with the Brewers has just been, you know, marked by, you know, by great play, great leadership, you know, and winning baseball. And I think the thing about this team, when you look at it going forward, is, oh, this team's so young, so they're gonna, like, I think, like, this year is kind of the upside of what this team is. And so I think as Brewers fans, we have to be prepared for excruciating October baseball, knowing that not all of them are going to end the way last night did.
I'm hung up on your comparison to last year's Packers team, because I don't know if it's fair, right? Because this team fell short of obviously what the Packers did a year ago. What draws you to that comparison? The youth and kind of the knowing what they don't know?
This team was predicted to finish fifth out of five,
right,
in the NL Central. And this team, you know, stunningly overachieved its expectations. And I feel the same way about last year's Packers team. Jordan Love is a first-year starter. You know, maybe not predicted by everyone to be last in the division, but none of us expected to go to Dallas and win that home playoff, for the Cowboys, a home playoff game. So I think, you know, for this year, you would have loved to complete that comparison by at least winning the wild card round, which would have made it the exact same as what the Packers did last year. But I still see so many similarities. I mean, this was a young team without Christian Yelich, with, you know, let's call Jackson Chourio the Jordan Love of this team, who led this team into the postseason that, by all accounts, had no rights being a playoff baseball team.
Chourio's upside to me is even higher than Love's.
It's higher?
Yeah.
Craig?
I mean,
he did something that only Babe Ruth has done. What's the comparison in football? Like, Jordan Love doing things that only, like, Bart Starr?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I'm sure you could find something that Jordan Love did, like, to, in his first year starting, to have a perfect quarterback rating on the road, or, you know, to have, I know the Jackson Chourio wasn't in his first year, but I mean, Jordan Love did really, really special things. And I, I do think if you're saying Jordan Love's upside is to be, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL, I mean, would we say that? Or is his upside to be top three? Like, do you not think he has the chance to be the best quarterback in the NFL?
As long as Mahomes is around, no. The answer is no.
No, but I'm saying, I'm thinking about it more Jaden Daniels, and Stroud, you know, as you look at, you know, 7-8 years from now.
Yeah, so, I think he's like a top 3 to 5 guy. Yeah.
Right. So he's the top 3 to 5 guy and at the most important position in the sport. And I think Jackson Chourio's upside is be, you know, the top 1 to 6
I think, yes.
players.
Jackson,
you know, in the
Jackson
sport.
Chourio's potential is the best player in the sport.
I mean, I think, again, like you said about Mahomes, I think as long as Shohei Ohtani is,
playing to,
and can be the pitcher also, like, I think it's almost tough to compare any person to Shohei Ohtani.
That's fair.
That Aaron Judge guy isn't too bad either, in terms of an outfielder.
I mean, but but what Jackson Chourio can do, and I think the thing that drove Brewers fans crazy throughout this series is, I think people were looking at it like, wait, it felt like, all right, the best at-bats in this series and clearly the best player was Chourio. Then afterwards, it's probably Terang with the at-bats he had and, you know, what he did. And then maybe if you had to pick a next player, maybe it's Perkins, who my daughter thinks looks exactly like John Legend. I think there's there might be
somebody else
there.
Texted. I can't remember. Somebody else texted me that yesterday as well.
I see it.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter said couldn't not think of John Legend every time Perkins. But like you look at the best at bats of the series and all that, and I obviously, you know, Frelick ends up you know with some big time moments there. And I think the thing that Brewers fans leave frustrated is like, God, our veterans. Like, aren't the veterans the ones in the postseason? And so I think there is that excitement level around the youth about not just this team pulling together to win a division going away. The largest division lead throughout Major League Baseball for most of the second half of the season. But that also the young players, and some of which, like Sal, like I think Sal has more upside in the regular season than we saw this year. Like that the young players showed up when it meant the most. And there's now this upside for what they can do moving forward.
Yeah, I think of guys like Terang and Sal, like another offseason, getting stronger, being able to, like, because like the leap that Bryce Terang made this year, and like his OPS was still below average.
Yeah, I was going to say, his offensive numbers ended up falling you know, to a pretty low level, but obviously defensively he was incredible.
Defensively, stealing like, bases, like his war numbers are fantastic, Craig. Like I think he still has more room to grow, despite the huge leap he took forward this year.
Yeah, I think he ended up like offensively not even taking as big a leap, because you're right, he impacts the game in so many ways. He's such a winning type player. Oh, and that's another, like Bob Uecker nailed it after the game, like right as I got in the car.
Oh man!
The thing about Terang's double play, like all I like in a sick way, I was saying to Harper as we're watching the game, I was like, I actually don't mind if Ortiz strikes out here, like as long as he doesn't hit a double play, we're gonna get Chourio to the plate, and all we want to do is at least get Chourio to the plate as the tying run, and so then Terang gets to the plate, and I'm like, all right, it'd be great if Frelick could steal second, but with Terang's speed, you're not. I mean. To hit into a double play, the chance of that is just
so
low.
Oh, he hit it so hard. He hit that ball so hard, Craig.
And Uecker said it exactly. He's like, it's just, there's nothing that could explain it, except it can only happen in baseball where, you know, where Terang, who doesn't ground into double plays, could hit the ball that hard right to Lindor. I mean, it just, you know, in any other scenario, we're at least talking about Jackson Chourio coming to the plate as the tying run.
Yep. Yeah, that
I'm defeated.
That it was a tough listen on the broadcast last night. By
that
the way,
was.
At the end, Uke was very emotional. Levering was very emotional. Bob Uecker was hanging out in the clubhouse an hour, I believe,
over an hour
after the game. Craig, we appreciate the time. It's going to be a tough one today. We're going to continue to fight through it.
I don't feel better.
We're going to get there.
You think?
We're going to get there.
Okay.
Bucks training camp in Irvine, California ends tomorrow. The team will be in action on Sunday. And it's
you going to be there?
It's time to no, it's in Detroit. I will not be there. It will be time to turn a page to another excruciating postseason, hopefully, that ends up in on the other side for the Milwaukee Bucks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig Karmazin joining us here as he does every Friday on Jim Gabe and Drew. Yeah, what's up, Craig? Yep. We used to match it.
At the beginning of the segment, you mentioned I heard the Landworks thing. The Landworks people were here yesterday. I came home. They did the most. It says creative. They did the coolest Halloween decorations on my front porch that I've ever seen. So we always mention Landworks at the beginning of the segment, but what they say in that liner about the creative and professionalism, whatever, they're unbelievable Landworks landscaping.
Well, you have like a giant, like 12-foot skeleton?
What are we talking about?
So, I mean, so they put a bunch of pumpkins, right, which is cool.
Naturally.
And then they put this, like, hanging thing over the front door that's so cool. But the topper of it is I have these little two dogs. Like, you know, I'm obsessed with dogs. And we have these two little dog, like, statues, like, in the front porch, like, little, like, lawn thingies. And they put one of them when I got home is wearing, like, the mask from the movie Scream, like, where the dog, like, totally freaks you out. And then the other dog is wearing, like, a scary monster mask. Like, it's just, like, they're both the most, like, freaky things, like, you've ever seen. And, like, I had no idea they were doing it, and like they totally like, you know, it'll help me get over the Brewers. Like just walking in and seeing the scariness of my front porch every day.
I hope everybody can find their scariness of the front porch that Craig has to help them get over the loss.
That's what happiness is: a scary, happy front porch.
It's Landworks landscaping. There you go.
Yeah, there you go, Craig.
The next edition of Behind the Bucks is here. Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Bucks stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates, teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers a unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Took off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? You put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, New York, down, they did it, and the crew will have it in here tonight. Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
All right, now I'm conflicted. Because that's excellent producing, but it doesn't help.
I said to Josh while he started playing it, why are we doing this?
I mean, again, it was an emotional night in the broadcast. Like when Levering was signing off, we had Jeff on yesterday. Like he was fighting back tears and not winning that fight at all. I mean, everybody was heartbroken about it. And so I do want quickly, I know Josh has a question for us, but I do want to issue quickly an apology because you guys were right. I was lashing out because of how sad I am about the whole, oh, woe is us, Wisconsin sports thing. Like, I lashed out. I apologize for that. If that's the way you feel this morning, that's the way you feel. I can't change that.
Thank you for not fan shaming, and I appreciate the apology is accepted, and I appreciate it.
Everybody's lashing out, right? Like,
and you're allowed to.
It's funny you mention that because I've got a lash out, an emotional, bringing myself to polluted mindset, leaning in.
Oh boy,
I have this thought. I haven't convinced myself of it.
Oh boy,
would you rather have your heart broken in the playoffs or not be in the playoffs at all?
Rather have your heart broken in the playoffs.
Because I think that's the right answer, but parts of me right now today feel that way.
If the Brewers missed the playoffs, Josh, today's show would be so easy. We'd be talking about the Packers.
Jordan Love, baby.
Road favorites.
Road favorites feeling good. Yeah, they're 2-2, but they got through this injury. We're feeling good. You look at the schedule. This next stretch, not as tough as we thought at the beginning of the season. Like, today's show would be easy and upbeat and fun if the Brewers missed the play. So I understand where that's coming from.
Because I think a month from today, my answer's different than I feel right now. And I'm not even sure I feel that way fully.
No, you don't. You don't.
Because it's one of those things you toss around in your head when you let yourself go to some ugly places.
I understand this is the depression hours, right? We are grieving together. But it is a beautiful privilege for us to constantly be in this position where 3, 4, 5 times a year, depending on how many teams make it, right? Like Marquette had a really nice run in March that ended in heartbreaking fashion. The Packers seemingly do it every year. The Brewers now seemingly do it every year. The Bucks seemingly do it every year.
You know,
it is a beautiful privilege to have the opportunity to be this pissed off on a Friday morning.
You know what was less fun? When the Packers missed the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers last year.
Correct.
That was not fun.
Well, they still broke our hearts in a kind of a playoff way that year, too.
Yeah, stung a little less.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
You know that's not true.
Because they weren't very good.
But I know that. It was a weird season.
It was like, I mean, again, when Aaron Rodgers is dropping back and Alan Lazard is his best option, it's like when Mark Canna comes up, right? It goes back to that example, right? Like you realize, like,
sure, but Gabe,
maybe they're not.
And we might be doing a little bit revisionist history, because I think the mindset at that point, when we think back to that, 2022 season?
Yeah. Well, you have Aaron Rodgers.
You have Aaron Rodgers. You get in the dance, anything can happen.
I mean, he gave Jeff Janis a 100-yard, you know, possession one time in the playoffs.
Against the Cardinals.
He's Aaron Rodgers. He can do anything.
Yeah, and that's why you did not feel that way at that point. This sucks. This feeling, and again, I said it earlier, this feels about 2018-ish, Brewers-wise, in terms of heartbreak because of the situation, right? You go into the ninth inning expecting to win. You expect Devin Williams, as he always does, to get the job done. And unfortunately, he has his worst appearance at the worst time, and that's what makes it sting. You feel bad for him. I understand people are pissed with him. You're allowed to feel however you feel. I feel bad for him because he's that good of a pitcher. He's your best reliever. You have him in that position. You're taking him in that position every opportunity you get, and it just didn't work out, which sucks.
I wonder if we get any sort of confirmation from anyone that maybe he was indeed tipping his pitches.
So for those that don't know what that means, that essentially means he's giving a tell before he throws the ball, right?
Correct. So John Boy, who, if you are a baseball fan, like, just go follow him, because he's the one who did the breakdown of the one that we loved at the beginning of the season with the F and Wah.
Yeah, he does the lip readings.
Yeah, does the lip readings. He's the one who did the lip reading with Willie Adames and Jesse Winker earlier this week when we saw that Willie told him to meet him out in the parking lot. And then, by the way, Willie told John Heyman of the New York Post that he went to the parking lot and Winker no-showed, which just makes me love that man even more. Like, even though I don't think he's going to be back here, like, it's a hell of a parting gift, Willie. I appreciate you. But he had a video out this morning saying that Williams was tipping his pitches, that his glove went in a different position, fastball versus changeup. It was a little difference, but a big enough one that big league hitters should have picked up on it. And the Brewers did admit when Frankie Montas was tipping his pitches in his last start of the season. I wonder if we get anything like that in any sort of postseason press conferences. We want to hear from you, 800-990-3776. Dump your Brewers bucket in 2 minutes.